All right, so we need a good amount of participation. Titus, who's sitting at that table? Do you guys have a full table or no? All right, if you have only two people at your table, I'm going to ask you just for this next session to get up and join a table that has more people on it. All right? How many are at this table? Four? Okay, cool. How many you guys have?
They had three, but I'm leaving now.
Five? Okay, you guys want to, wait, five, no, that's a full, how many you guys have? So you got full table, perfect. How many do y'all have over here?
Five.
Five, okay. So you have two, and there's two over there. Do you guys want to go over there? Just for the next session. Okay. Yeah, you can leave your stuff. Nobody's going to take it home that we know of.
Right?
Just grab your phone. You will need your phone, okay? All right. How many at this table? How many do we have at this table?
Five.
Okay. Where's everybody at? That's what I'm wondering. How many at this table? Text them. Tell them, hey, guys. Huh? Yeah. All right. So the two, this table right here, you guys are going to be good. How many do you guys have? What's that? So we're missing one, so three, four. Okay, that should be good. Right here. This table. Absolutely. Perfect, yes. They're not here, right? And how many? Four, so there's one extra chair. All right, here we go. One extra chair right here. All right. Everybody at your table, do me a favor right now. Go ahead and point a finger up. Up to the ceiling. Point up. And at the count of three, you're going to point to the leader of that table. One, two, three, go. All right, table leaders, I need you to go ahead and stand up. Table leaders, stand up. You're the leader, man. You got to stand up. Okay, we got one, we got one. Danny, who's the leader? All right, okay, perfect. We're a team. All right, we're ready for dancing. Okay, we got everybody. Okay, all right. So, team leaders, I want you to pay attention, okay? Because everything for the next 2 hours hangs on your shoulders. I'm kidding. It's only 45 minutes, and the rest of it is true, though. So, I want you to find the person at your table who is the most confident person in the use of AI. I don't care if they use ChatGPT, I don't care if they use Grok, I don't care what they use, but I need you to find the person at your table who's got it. If you don't have a person at your table, I need you to raise your hand, okay? You don't have one? Okay, you're good. Then you count. Yes. All right. I need one person who's good at it at each table, and the leaders need to know who it is. Okay, so it's you. Perfect. Are you guys good over here? But you have it on your phone? Okay, Perplexity. That works. Perfect. All right. We got one? You got it? You got it on your phone? Perfect. Okay, so leaders. Listen up. Leaders. You're going to ask the person who is now going to be your expert at the table, just to give it a name, ask them if they have the app loaded on their phone.
Do you have the app loaded on your phone?
Again, doesn't matter if it's ChatGPT or Grok or anything else, okay? Are you guys good over there? Yes, 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 yes. That's even better. We only need one. Just one for this exercise. Stacy, we got somebody? We're good? Right over here, we're good? You good? They won't raise the hands. They'll be like, nah, we're not doing this. All right. All right. Everybody good? Say yes. Okay, perfect. All right. Now, leaders, have a seat. Thank you. You've picked the expert in your table. Everybody can have a seat. Now, just by show of hands across the board, how many of you are using AI on a daily basis? I would have thought there would be more hands up. Okay, got it. Now, lower your hands. Those of you that did not raise your hand on a daily basis, I'm going to ask you guys a totally different question. When I say AI, how many of you are like, I don't know what that even means? Okay, one hand. All right, perfect. Okay, cool. So at least everybody has at least heard of it. You probably heard the scary side of it, right, Terminator? Anybody with me on that one? You know, taking over the world. What's that? If you've ever seen the movies, then you'd be like, oh my gosh, that's coming. Well, outside of the potential of what it could do, I'm just going to start out by just giving a simple understanding. AI is just another tool. Everybody with me? AI is just another tool. And just like any other tool, the more that we learn how to use it, then the better that we can be at it. So the first time you use a tool, is it easy? No, right? How often did we go ahead and try to undo some sort of screw and then just completely destroy that screw? If anybody in here has ever done that, raise your hand. Okay, perfect. And how hard is it then to remove the screw after you totally messed it up? It's not that easy, right? But having said that, every single thing that we're going to talk about today is going to be very, very easy. So, for those of you that are not consistently using AI on a day-to-day basis, I just want to start you off with one simple challenge. Is that okay? Now, I'm going to focus really only on two AI models. I'm going to focus on ChatGPT and on Grok. All right, that's it. I'm just going to talk about the two. Some of you have your own that you love and that you're really excited about. So we won't dig into all of the ones that are available. I'm only going to focus on those two. Fair enough? By the way, Grok is G-R-O-K. You just can download ChatGPT or Grok on your App Store or on Google Play if you have Android. Both of them work pretty much exactly the same way, but how they pull information and give it to you is a little bit different. Now, let's say everybody in the room had a question about something, but we don't have a person that we normally go to. What do we normally do? We Google it, right? So here's the challenge that I'm going to pose for those of you that are not currently using AI. I'm going to ask you to start using, again, Grok or ChatGPT. From this point on, I'm just going to call it the AI, okay? Use the AI like you would Google. And it might give you more context to the information that you're looking for. Fair enough? So what I want us to do is everybody at those tables, we need at least one person who's going to be running the AI, and we're going to have the AI work for us. Is that okay? Now, when we're talking about AI, at your tables, there might be something good that is said, and we don't want to miss it. All right? So experts in the room, again, we picked the experts, so you guys know who you are. I want you to start your AI with a prompt that says something like this. I want you to act as my personal assistant, and I want you to record all the information from, and then say how many people are at your table. I want you to break down that information, and I want you to send me, after it's all said and done, a breakdown of the good things, the not-so-good things, the challenges, and the opportunities that we have going on within AI. So, experts, you got me? Say yes. Perfect. Whatever you want. I like that question, but I'm just going to keep it simple. You decide, okay? Totally up to you. All right. Go for it. Yes. Yeah. Use the free one, without a doubt. Go for it. Reuben. Say that again. Yeah. So the prompt. By the way, when I say a prompt, does everybody understand what I'm saying? Okay. A prompt is the thing that you're typing in. So we're just saying to prepare for what we're about to do, put a prompt that says, you're going to act as my assistant, and I want you to capture all the information. So you're going to use your microphone. So again, experts, I want to make sure your microphone is turned on, your permissions are set correctly on your device, and you're going to act as my assistant. You're going to capture the information. So over here, we got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 people. I want you to capture the information of all 6 people. Get the good, the not so good, the opportunities, the threats, every single thing that you want to put in there, and I want you to break it down after the conversation is over. Fair enough? All right. Why are we doing all this, by the way? Because every single one of us has this opportunity literally in our pockets. And so we're going to start this off with a simple process, right? Once you have that prompt in there, just press enter. Do me a favor and make sure you test your microphone. So if you've not done that before, just do it right now. Take a second to test it. Make sure that it has the permission set correctly. Are we good? Say yes. Good over there. Justin, you good? Almost. Are you guys good over here? Who's the expert? All right. So you're going to put that phone to where the microphone is available to hear everybody, right? So remember, we're using the audio part of ChatGPT or of Grok to record everything that we're about to say in the table. So that's why it's so important before we do the next step that the microphone is actually picking up what you guys are saying. Sound good? Say yes. All right, perfect. So we're just going to start it off with a simple question. So leaders, you're going to lead that conversation around the table. And the question is, how are you using AI? Make sure you get that information from every single person. Leaders, do you guys understand what we're about to do? Please, please, please make sure you don't let one person hog the whole conversation for the rest of it. And the ones that are not using it that often, that's okay. Try to pull something out of them as well. Fair enough? Are we ready? Set. Grow. Please make sure you're using the app and not the web version of it, okay? Perfect. Again, the question to go around the table, how are you using AI? All right, some of you guys have already gone through the table. Some of you guys are sharing it way more advanced than everybody else, and that's okay. So leaders, raise your hand. All right, leaders, question number two. How is it helping you in your day-to-day in the business? What's the benefit of what you're using it for? Let me make sure that second question comes through. I want you to share what the benefit is of the first thing that you talked about. So you're talking about how you're using it on a day-to-day basis. The second thing is, okay, what's the benefit of that? Why is that important for you to use it that way every single day? What are you getting out of it that's helping you in marketing or sales or operations or administration or leadership? All right, some of the tables are moving quick, and some of them are not so quick. That's okay. The third question. Everybody, leaders, raise your hand. Leaders, raise your hand. The third question is, what would you like it to do for you? What would you like it to do for you? Looks like somebody's ChatGPT session ended. So please make sure you hit submit multiple times, okay? Especially on the audio recording. Thank you, Nathan. All right. We should be finishing up with that third question. Is that true? Say yes. One more minute, two more minutes. Okay, got it. Either way, as you guys are finishing up, everybody, leaders, look up. Leaders, raise your hand. All right, leaders at every table, raise your hand, leaders. Okay. So now that you're finishing up, right towards the end of whatever that final person that was sharing on whatever they were talking about, go ahead and get that breakdown of all the stuff you just talked about, and I want you to share that with us. You're going to share it by sending it to support@howardpartridge.com. All right, so take a minute, copy that, put it into an email, or you can forward the response, however you want to do it, but this is what I'm talking about to the experts. Experts, please send it to support@howardpartridge.com. All right. As y'all are doing that, leaders, I need you to stand up. Leaders, stand up. We're going to go through. We're going to talk about what you guys heard at the tables, mini version. Yep.
Are you wanting us to have AI recap it and send it to you?
Absolutely. So both. I want you to recap and then send that over to us. And by the way, what we're going to do with all this content is we're going to recap it all into one master document that we can learn a lot from and improve. Fair enough? All right. So, leaders, I'm going to ask you, you know, in your table, answer a little bit about what you got out of those three questions, okay? So, Andrew, take it away.
All right. So, there was at least two of us here, one that doesn't use it, myself, not consistently, but it's a time management thing, and that's probably the most important, more specifically, for content creation, marketing analytics, and stuff down that line.
Love it. Thank you. All right. Round of applause right here. Second table. Titus.
We had a full table here. Two are not using it. Six are using it probably on a daily basis, by and large, maybe not quite daily. We use it from everything from fine-tuning emails, making them sound human or maybe not human, doing Excel work, proofreading documents, a lot of things that you can do that if you just type in some things, some prompts, that it can do much better than you, a lot faster, and actually a lot better, at least than me, since I'm a 10th grade dropout.
Thank you, Titus. Appreciate it. Give it up for Titus. All right, Eric.
Titus. So here we learned that Fred is not only our expert, but he is way more advanced at using this than I even thought about. So there's a lot of things that we talked about from the human aspect, but then also from a systems and processes aspect that really got us thinking, and we started talking more about the future instead of how we're using it now. But some of those examples were on the job site, being able to use things like Rilla and incorporate that into improvement of our processes. I know Fred mentioned something that blew my mind. I didn't realize you can use it for videos, and then having the text sync up with music or the audio, and then basically copying and pasting that and being able to use that for your marketing. I had no idea you could do that and cut out a lot of time. Joseph talked about being able to use the tool to really monitor our efficiencies and the effectiveness on a job in the future, like cameras, even from a safety aspect, if you know folks are in the line of fire or potentially going to get into a risky situation, being able to identify that and signal, hey, we're not in a good situation here. So a lot of good things that we've thought about that we're really looking forward to awesome. Learning more about.
Man, thank you. Give it up for Eric. All right, take it away.
Yeah, it was actually pretty helpful. It kind of taught us some nice little unique ads that we didn't even really think about. Some like little 10% off for this and that. We have multiple different services, so it's kind of teach us how to organize all that. And we're having a problem with like our Google business page right now. It actually told us that we can have one Google account and have all of our services on that same Google page and actually taught us how to do it. Pretty sweet. And it actually referred referrals, like he was talking about earlier. So we're going to get into that for sure.
Man, that is awesome. All right, let's give it up. Thank you, Tanner.
Okay, so this one, the summary was, got it, you're walking someone through how to use ChatGPT Live, likely during a workshop or a team session. It seems that you're helping them understand the basics and showing practical examples, which is great, a great way to teach. Here's a quick summary and structure version of the demo for clarity and future reference, and then it goes into how you set it up, what you talk about, the key points, how to use ChatGPT. The paid version is $20. Is that true? I think that's what we're paying. You can have the free version, right? But if you pay $20. And then the example questions asked, business targeting, local competitor research, which is funny because he's a carpet cleaner, and guess who was a competitor here? Howard.
What is it?
But we asked competitors near because he's doing a research, right? And so Howard's company came up. So on the business assistance, and then, you know, how to use features and highlight. So it was extremely quick. Yeah.
Man, that is awesome. All right. Thank you for sharing. All right.
Bella? Thank you very much. Okay, so what was really interesting for me is the roundabout of how many different ways everybody's using AI, from taking information and gathering it and summarizing it from a Zoom meeting, to have it answer phones, to make things sound more professional, to bounce ideas off of, to transcribe an email into a disk D format. I mean, there's just, it's endless, really. It feels like it's endless. So when you got to the last question, what do you want it to do for you? And I'm like, oh my gosh, I feel like it could do anything. So that's going to be fun. But the general consensus was to be able to fulfill the areas of the monotonous work so it frees up employees to do real stuff.
That's awesome. Yes, thank you, Bella. All right, Stacy.
For us, pretty much exactly half our table is not using it. The other half is using it. We use it for everything from pulling reports to proposal, Facebook post, writing, not writing songs, but putting songs into music, editing books. Andy's used it for cloning voices and what would you call it? Reproduce video to for a podcast. So that person doesn't have to be there. Logos and characters, just a little bit of everything.
Thank you, Stacy. All right.
Okay, our table has used AI for creating emails, editing emails, putting like books into a certain tone. Like they said that they put their employee handbook in tone redneck so that they understand it. and then just like creating ideas, so they, you know, video, editing, and I think products as well, like product ideas, marketing campaigns, like ideas of if I want to market this specific product, what should I do, and it gave like lists and stuff like that. And then what we want it to do more of is to be more personal to the person and to maybe the company.
That's awesome. Thank you.
Yes.
Oh. All right, Keith, take it away.
So half of us are using it and the other half aren't. One of the things that we've used it for is marketing. And I know Kyle uses it all the time. Every time I call him, he wants to go on Gemini and see what Gemini has to say about it. So it's been a powerful tool for us. I've learned about it. Some people shared it with me. I think it came from a pod, I think Christian taught me about it, honestly. So, I've used it to create an outline for Teen Power at our church, you know, to create a message for the teen night. And Kyle uses it all the time for to put devotions in it and to spell check it and create that to send that out and encourage people. And Daniel uses it for marketing and awareness in front of other people. And they are going to use it because they are learning how powerful it is. So
that is awesome. All right. Thank you, Keith. And Al, I have to say, when you show up on the Zoom meetings and I see AL, and I'm thinking the AI, who is this AI showing up on here? Oh, that's fantastic. I love it. All right, Kirk, take it away.
All right, we were a 60-40 split, 60% using it, not at all or a little bit, but 40% using it a little bit more regularly. Nate's company, Schaefer Heating and Cooling, uses it for dispatching support, marketing campaign calendars, and email templates. But my favorite example that he gave is he's got two employees can do the work of eight, and it's not a reduction. Then people aren't losing their jobs. People are becoming more productive, and they're earning more money. So that, I thought that was really cool. Chestnut, is using it to write outreach campaigns and engage with her cold network. I've used it to craft some strategic plans and write some articles. My wife Angie's used it for social media and writing copy for our franchise website and email. My daughter Riley is using it to work on an outline for her senior final essay, and she's learning how to treat it like an employee, to take direction but not depend on it as a crutch. And then Myla has used it to generate some artwork, and Amy just used it for the first time, right? Awesome. Yeah.
All right. Thank you. Great.
Yes, we used ChatGPT, we use Words, we use Grammarly, Jenny, Google, Plaid, texting, and Rilla is what we're using it all for. And all of our SOPs have been written and then rewritten by AI. Our breakdown was 33.33%, 33.33%, and 33% of people are using it.
That is awesome. Thank you, Greg. All right. Liz.
So I'm going to read to you exactly how they worded it. Based on the conversation between the seven individuals at the table, Heather uses AI for writing letters, emails, and social media posts. She inputs prompts and edits the content generated by AI. She also uses it for recipes, meal planning, grocery lists. Jory does not use AI. The reason is for his, and he doesn't like it. The reason for his preference was not mentioned. Jeff does not use AI daily, and the reason also was not specified. Josh does not use AI, but he intends to use it in the future. Michelle uses AI for generating social media posts, creating outlines for marketing, action plans. Oh, I'm sorry, they mixed Michelle and Mindy up. So Mindy uses AI for generating social media posts, creating outlines for marketing action plans, and planning weekly emails based on daily posts in different categories like boarding, grooming, retail, and dog grooming academy. I use AI to generate emails, respond to online reviews, respond to customer complaints. I use it for having conversations with my teammates. I use it for looking up procedures and processes, and I also use it to have conversations with difficult family members. And then it says, from this conversation, it took all of it, and it said it's apparent while some individuals find AI helpful in their daily tasks, others prefer not to use it. The reason for these preferences may vary among the individuals at the table, and then it asks for more clarification on those.
The Terminator is going after I know who now, right? All right, give it up for him. Andy, take it away. Mini version. Thank you.
So we use AI to create summaries of topics in order to make a presentation, to draft presentations and use slides and references. And we also had a discussion about using AI to answer the phone at the business and how much it has progressed in its ability to do that in the last 6 months, because it's always learning.
Yeah, that is awesome. Give it up for Andy. Thank you. Deborah.
Hey. Mini version.
Yes.
Oh, mini version can't do, but anyway, he did the usage table for me, so it must be the inputter. So we had a couple that were not using it, but were going to use it now, and we had one that was pretty expert, so it said that her role was an entrepreneur, and then it didn't get Rachel's, and then I asked it to input Rachel, and it gave Rachel an expert and a participant, and we'll all use it more. We had a lot of things we did use it for.
Perfect. That is awesome. Thank you, Deborah. All right. Justin.
Mini versions. We use three of the five use it a lot. Everything from Facebook to, and actually ask it to do it in StoryBrand format. Emails in StoryBrand format, asking for a specific format. And then I personally use it with church to help organize thoughts for sermons and even create the PowerPoint with your messages and everything in it so you have your sermon images. So we use it for everything.
Man, that's awesome. All right, give it up for Justin. Daniel, last one.
Thank you, sir. Let's go around the table real quick. Michelle uses it pretty much for everything. She's been using it for over a year, so she's our expert at the table almost. Next is Nick. Steve. Sorry about that. Steve has, I think he's just never really used it, so I think that's the reason why. But George had some pretty good words about it, how he said just replace Google with it. So that's the first words he told me. If you'd asked me 30 days ago, I knew nothing about chat. Now we have the collaborated version. So next we have George. He's been using it for everything from personal to business to meal planning to nutrition. And then myself, I started getting comfortable with it. So then we used it to, especially because the help of George, because he works in the agency, is actually bring it on board. So we do everything from the standard ops to creating everything, because before it was just my wife and myself, and now let's help create things, put some systems in place, and then he's helped us do a lot of that stuff, and it took very little time.
That's awesome. All right, give it up for Daniel. Okay, so it sounds like we are all over the place with how we use it. We're going to grab all this content, put it together, create one master document that we can use from this point on. Now, question, how many of you struggle with creating content for training your team members? Let me ask you a totally different question. If I were to sit one-on-one with you, can you show me a written training process for every position within your organization? Raise your hand. Okay, then if you didn't raise your hand the first time, then now you know the power of what AI can do for you, specifically, say, in operations. We were just talking about this with Katie, and we're using an example of one of our members. We're having a conversation. They're in HVAC, and we're breaking down a training, full-year training, 52 weeks, broken down in 30-minute increments of what to cover, when to cover it, and make it funny. Not redneck, but definitely funny, right? And my goodness, it was fantastic, and there was a breakdown for every single week. Then the second prompt afterwards was, okay, give me a handout for week number one, week number two, week number three, and now they had a full year's worth of content created on the fly. Now imagine that if you could do that for every position, right? That is the power of what AI can do for you. Now one more thing, one of our members said, hey, I know you get blood work about every 3 months, and I do. And then they're like, hey, have you uploaded it onto your AI and see what it gives you? And I was like, I never even would have considered that. So imagine just the AI has access to all the information that you don't. Or that you could if you just look long and hard enough, and it would take you several hours, days, months, weeks, and just all sorts of training to get to that point. But the point is this one. AI is here. It's not going anywhere. AI is just one more tool that's going to take over a lot of different things, whether you want to or not. The only question is how are you going to learn to stay in front of it and to use it as a tool? And I shared when we were at an event, I was talking to this company, and all their after-hours incoming calls were being answered live by the AI. They took 1 year to train the AI to sound like the spouse of the owner. The way they tested it was the spouse called in and he couldn't tell the difference. And he was like, is honey? Yes, sweetie. Whoa, now it gets a little bit weird, right? It's like, how does it know that piece of info? So from an external perspective, there's all that availability. From an internal perspective, just remember this. If you're creating procedures using it, it doesn't know where your stuff is. So you have to be careful when you're creating stuff with AI, especially specifically procedures, right? For example, it doesn't know when you walk in the door, make a right, because it's never been in here. There is no video or any sort of context for that. So use it every single day, and every single one, you're going to send that breakdown of what we covered to what email? support@howardpartridge.com. You're going to send that in. We're going to put it all together. We're going to tabulate it, and we're going to find how we can use this across the board for small businesses. Sound good? Melvin, I would say I have more time for you, but I got to make sure I get Katie up here because I know she's going to be. Yeah. You were hesitant. You got an email sent to you and what?
And it was a illegal email. In other words, it was trying to get me to send them money for a toll. How does AI, I don't know how to word it, how do you get AI to say, could you check to see if this is a spam?
That's good. That's right. Okay. So, just like you would on Google, right, no different, you can just literally put that prompt in there, copy and paste the email, and by the way, the likelihood is like 99.999% that that's a spam, right? So having said all of that, there's a lot of ways that you could use it, whether it's in marketing or in sales and operations and administration or leadership or in your personal life. How many of you have used it to create some sort of custom workout program? Okay, we got one hand on this one, right? How many of you used it for food? We talked about food. A lot of y'all raised your hand on this one. I create a custom program for you to hit a specific amount of calories so you can lose this number of pounds per day, per week.
I took a picture of my lunch today, uploaded it in ChatGPT, or I like to say, check the chat box, and he told me all the nutritional value. Perfect. By the picture.
And it keeps track of it for you every single day. Plus, if you're giving content of how you weigh yourself, your body fat percentage, and everything else, it can tweak it live for you. So you guys see the power of it now? I'm going to say something else. It can never replace you. Everybody with me? It cannot replace you. It might, who knows, in 20, 30, 40, 50, 100 years, I don't know, it might, but right now it doesn't. But what we know, it is a tool that we have to learn to use every single day. Sound good? Say yes. Yes. All right, so who wants to learn more about online marketing? Okay, let's try that again. Who wants to learn more about online marketing? Yeah.
I found somebody's hotel key, Marriott, and the room number is on the back, and I considered, it's not too far from here, I considered maybe putting a gift or something scary in the room, but better, I don't want to call out the room, okay, 8.
Okay.
All right, so if anyone does not have their hotel room key with them, see us at the back table. You got yours? 8th floor. Maybe they left in a hurry and they forgot their, they dropped their card. I don't know. Anyway, Satya, where are you going? Oh, okay.
You
want to
introduce
it? No, you do it.
All right,
we'll do it. What do you want to say first?
Hold on. Let me put this down.
How about give it up for Santiago? Huh? What? Huh? Who's coming up?
We got Katie Harris coming up.
Katie Harris?
Yeah.
What? Come on now. Give it up for Katie Harris. Master your online marketing. Yes or?
Yes.
See, Sadie's not at the controls back there, so she didn't have any walk-in music. I need Josiah on the piano up there. Katie Harris. Yeah, this is why I don't speak in the afternoons on the last day. Too silly.
Nope. Hey, how cool is Santi, right?
Woo!
So cool. All right. I hate to break to you, but AI's been around for a really long time. Like, Google loves it, and Google has loved it for a long time. The biggest competitor Google has had and the biggest threat to Google in a very long time is ChatGPT, right? The minute we start saying, like, the minute we stop saying, I'll just Google it, Google's got a problem. So chat is a huge disruption to Google. If you'll notice just recently when you do a Google search for something, right, you get an option that comes up that says, would you like to use ChatGPT for this or would you like to use search? Google is smart. They are smart. They took their biggest threat and they implemented it into their system. Super cool, right? Okay, I hope you start thinking about ChatGPT in a lot of different ways. That was some cool ideas on how we can use it. This is me. I'm Katie Harris. You know who I am. I love all of you that come on to my meeting that we have on Wednesdays. So I've seen some of you come through that program multiple times. Greg Boss's team is awesome. Greg came through it first, and then other people have come through, and it's really cool. One of the things I love to say is that I believe that you should never let a good opportunity pass you by. And everything else, we just figure it out, right? It's just details. So I hope as you've sat in here the last couple days, you've had a lot of really good ideas about things you can go do and start implementing. Before you leave, pick one, right? Pick one or two that you can really take away. And I hope you do that in this session too. I hope there's a couple things in here that you're like, I need to remember that. I can get 1% better. I know digital gets super, super, super confusing, right? And so I'm going to have you call me out today. If I start using, like, digital language, if I start talking a foreign language, somebody yell at me and tell me to come back and speak English again because it gets complicated. Just a little bit about us. My company, Get Found First Digital Marketing, we've been doing this for 14 years. We made the Inc. 5000 list 3 years in a row as fastest growing independently owned companies. I got a great team. This is something I'm most proud of right here. We are a Google Premier Partner. In 2015, Google called my office and said they'd like to come visit. I am located in Blackfoot, Idaho, right? There are more potatoes than anything else in Blackfoot, Idaho. And we thought we were being punked. We were like, what? You're going to come to Blackfoot? In 2015, they started a partner program, and we've been a part of it for 10 years. So we have Google's help that comes to us firsthand and trains us. They come to our office. They send us to their offices. They give us access to betas. And so I'm hopeful that some of the information we can share today will make a difference for you. And then recently, my good friend Eric Sprague asked me to help write a book with him that is now an Amazon bestseller. So The Road to Seven Figures and Beyond has been a great project that I'm really proud of. And if you'd like a copy, if you'll grab one of us, we'll make sure and get you a copy in the mail. This is our secret roadmap right here, right? This is how you scale businesses. This is how Eric scaled his business. This is how I've scaled my businesses. There is a roadmap for it, and we love to share it. Okay, I show up to this to you. I show this all the time. How many of you, first thing you do in the morning is pick up your phone? Oh, I know you all do. Okay, how many of you, last thing you do at night is set it down? Yeah, that matters because this has changed the game, you guys. This makes everything different. How often do you think we use our phones? Any guesses? A lot. Yeah, it's a good answer. 96 times a day. That is once every 10 to 12 minutes. You know how disruptive that is to our lives, right? And at the same time, do you know what an awesome marketing opportunities there are for you because of that? Okay, check this out. 2,617 times we touch our phone during the day. We check, did anybody text us? We swipe, we click, we look, all of these things. 2,617 times. That is a lot of times that we're reliant on our phone. Think of all the things you do on your phone, right? Your marketing has the perfect place to show up. Because Google's AI, guess what? They know where your ideal client is all the time. You don't know where that person is all the time. You can't get in front of them 24 hours a day. Google can, right? Google can. And your ideal customer, client, buyer, they're touching their phone 2,617 times a day. You want to be in front of those people? You bet. You bet you do. Okay, here's a generational trend. This is not a surprise, right? This is what it looks like. So here's the takeaway. If your customers are younger, they're already here. If your customers are not younger, the younger ones are going to be your customers. They're going to grow up. And when you look at millennials and Gen Z, have a totally different way of finding information and making decisions. And we need to figure out what those things are so that we can stay in front of the people we have now and the people who are going to be our customers in 5 years or 10 years from now. Okay, three things I want you to remember when it comes to your marketing. And I don't care if this is person-to-person marketing, referral marketing, digital marketing. You got to be there, you got to be fast, and you've got to be helpful, right? Those are the three things you have to be at all times. All of our marketing is going to touch on one of three things. We're either going to be trying to reach somebody, we're going to be capturing them, or we're going to be converting them. So from now on, whenever you do a marketing strategy, whatever it is, I want you to ask yourself, what is the goal of this strategy? Am I trying to reach somebody? Am I trying to capture them? Or am I trying to convert them? Because as soon as we know that, we know if we're on the right track. We know if we've got the right goals. We know if we've got the right expectations. So for example, if somebody comes to me and they're like, hey, I want to post on Facebook 5 times a day, I'm like, great, you want to get in front of people. That makes a lot of sense. What do you hope that happens from that? I hope I get 50 leads a week. Is that a good goal? Not really. Not really, because guess what? You don't know why somebody's looking at your organic post on Facebook, right? It's disruptive marketing. Is that the highest way that we get conversions, is from our organic posts on Facebook? Probably not. Maybe, depending on what your business is, but probably not. Because Facebook, for example, is a reach tool. We are trying to reach somebody with our social media. That means we are doing all the work to get in front of somebody, okay? Reach, capture, convert. Everything you do, I want you to ask yourself that question. Am I trying to reach people? Am I trying to capture them? Or am I trying to convert them? Sometimes there'll be some crossover, right? You'll be like, this is kind of a reach tool and kind of a capture tool. But understanding that will help you set your expectations with what you're doing. Okay, people, we have 500 touch points typically before we make a decision. Now, if you're emergency services, that's not necessarily true, right? But remember one of the things Howard always says, you need people to like, to know you, to like you, to trust you, and what's the fourth one? Remember you, right? That happens by touch points. We've got to get in front of people a lot of times. So what are some of the ways that we have touch points with people? Anybody have ideas? Social media is one of them. Email campaigns. That's a great way to have a touch point, have lots of touch points. That's how Howard touches all of us all the time, right? How many emails do you get from Howard's team? It's touch point, touch point, touch point, touch point. Okay, what else? What other ways? Text. Yes. What was that? One more. Calling. Yeah, actually talk. That's a good one. Actually talking to a human. That's a good one. Good, Bella. How else? Newsletters. Vans, billboards. Say it again. Belly to belly. Chamber of Commerce, right? BNI groups, all those things like that. Routes where we walk in and talk to people. All of these things are touch points. And we way underestimate how many touch points we need when it comes to our marketing. We got to get in front of the right people at the right time. And in order to do this, I want to talk to you about some reach strategies that really work. Now, remember, when we're in the reach stage of our marketing, right? We talk about this in our book, too. Reach, when we're reaching them, we are doing all the work, right? We are creating the email campaign. We are making the Facebook post. We are sending the text. That's us reaching out. So you have things like your social media marketing. Let's talk about that for a minute. Which social platform should you be on? Wherever your customers are. You do not have to be on all of them, right? So when we look at this and it starts to feel kind of overwhelming, you got to go back to who is my ideal customer, right? That's what you have to know. Okay, Google Business Profile posts. This is the way we're reaching people. Our search engine optimization, networking and partnerships. These are all reach tactics that we use to get in front of people. I want you to just remember that we way underestimate how many touch points we need with our people, right? So if you ever think, oh my gosh, I post I post on social media all the time. Like, this is so annoying. I send out so many emails. This is so annoying, right? And so we pull ourselves back, right? We start to throttle ourselves. And we're like, I'm just bugging people. I've already posted twice this week or three times this week. We way underestimate it because we see our brand all the time. We think other people see our brand all the time. But because of the way algorithms work, even if every single time we post somebody sees something, right, that's still not enough. And the truth of it is, because of the algorithms, every time we post, everybody doesn't see it. Because AI's smart. And they know, oh, you know what? Katie's not really interested in that topic. We're not going to show it this often. So we underestimate how many times we have to put stuff out there. I want you to take any of the marketing that you're doing right now, and I want you to exit, right? You decide what that X looks like. If that's a 10X, if that's a 100X, whatever it is. But whatever marketing strategies you're using, I want you to exit. It's got to be bigger than what it is right now. Okay? Okay, we're going to talk about capturing them. Now it starts to get fun because guess what? Now we're not doing all the work. When we get to the capture point of reach, capture, convert, now we're turning our people into some interest. They're doing some of the work with us. This looks like, hey, we got them to our website and they filled out a form, right? We put a Facebook ad in front of them and they requested something from us. They downloaded one of our lead magnets. Now when we get to the capture point, we've got in front of them to the point where they're going to do some of the work for us. We're starting to get them into our funnel, right? They're interested. This is an important place right here. We want all of our marketing to drive people to a capture point. One of the best capture points we have is our website. Your website is your capture point. Let me tell you a quick story. So we had a client who was a local dentist in my hometown. And the most important thing to him was he wanted to really do advertising for same-day crowns. It's all he cared about. He's like, I want same-day crowns. So we made him a page on his website. We were running ads for it. We were optimizing it, all these things for same-day crowns. And he started to get some leads, and he was pretty happy. And this went on for several months. And then all of a sudden, he called us, and he's like, man, I don't know what you're doing, but keep doing it because this is working so good. And we were like, not really doing anything different, right? We're like, okay, cool. Glad you're getting a lot of leads. Well, then we realized that we have this big state fair. Remember I told you we're a little tiny town? Well, when the state fair comes, it's a really big deal. And right in front of the state fair was a billboard. And one of his competitors had went on this billboard and put same-day crowns and their phone number. That's only funny if you're not that guy that ran the billboard. Right? It was awesome, though, because guess what? He reached a whole bunch of people, and he drove them to take an action. But guess what? When they went online, they didn't remember the phone number. They Googled it. And when it came up, it was my client's ad that popped up. Captured all that business, right? Reach, capture. So somebody else paid for all that reach. I told him to send him a Christmas card. It was very nice of him. Somebody else paid for all the reach. My client captured the business. So whatever you're doing, you have to own the capture point, right? They are going to Google you when you get in front of them. You have to own the capture point. And then they have to know what that looks like to do business with you. So we're going to want to do a few things. We're going to want to make sure our website has lead forms on it, whether that's book a service, fill out this, download a lead magnet. Like, we can do a lot of things on there. We want them to take an action so that we can move this relationship to the next level. A capture strategy is our Google pay-per-click ads, right? That's exactly what happened with this client. He owned the capture point on Google. When they Googled it, he showed up for the keyword same-day crowns, and nobody else did. So he owned that capture point. Think about that. Look in your market at what your competitors are doing online, right? Take your keywords that matter to you, put them into Google and see who shows up, right? Because they own the capture point, and we want you to own that capture point. Social media engagement. Okay, we're going to get on social media because we know everybody else is on social media. And I will tell you this, even though they say Facebook is for old people, which it kind of is, that's still where people are hanging out. They might not admit it. Facebook converts really, really well for almost all industries. you know, doesn't convert very well, regardless of industry? TikTok. It's popular. You can spend a lot of time creating content for it, but it doesn't convert very well. Doesn't get us, gets touch points, right? So what's the goal? Is the goal the reach and the touch point, or is the goal the capture or the convert? You got to know what the goal is to know if you're using the right stuff. Reviews and requests. This is a capture point. One of the most compelling ways that moves people to make a decision whether they should use you or somebody else is the reviews that you have up on your website and up on your Google Business profile. Doesn't really matter if your reviews are on your social media. If you're in California, it matters if they're on Yext, right? Like, it matters. So, okay, lead magnets. I hope you've got a lot of really good ideas the last couple days. I've got a lot of really good ideas the last couple days on what makes a great lead magnet. Eric and I right now, we have a book. It's Eric's best lead magnet that he has right now that he's using is his book, right? If you have a guide, whatever you have that you know, most of the time, just so you know, this is something so basic and simple. It's something that is so simple to you and easy that you almost think it's not worth giving away. But you are an expert. Don't underestimate how valuable your expertise are to people. So if you know something like how to get a stain out of a carpet, or when to unhook your hose so your basement doesn't flood, or how to clean out your gutters to prevent a leaky roof, right? You know these things. Turn them into lead magnets, a checklist that you can give somebody, and in return, they're going to give you their contact information, and that is gold, because we're going to turn around and we're going to use that to reach them and reach them and reach them. Make sense? Okay, any questions so far? It's a lot, and it's going to get more. Are you excited?
Yes.
All right, cool. Let's talk about this. Converting. This is the fun point. This is when we turn all of our hard work into money. Actual money, right? This is the mistake we make, though. We think conversion happens at the last touch point. So we start to say, oh, my digital marketing isn't working. Oh, my postcard mailers aren't working. Whatever isn't working, right? And we give all the attribution to a lead to the last place it came from. For example, pay-per-click ads, very bottom of the funnel. Your Google ads are the very bottom of the funnel. A lot of times, when somebody's finally ready to make a decision, that's where they're going to click, right? Maybe they're going to go to your website. You've got a great brand. They know who you are. They're going there direct. So you might think, I don't need to run ads. I don't need to do any of this because I get all my leads from my website. We make the mistake of giving all the attribution to the last click. You got to remember all those touch points along the way played a role in this. And when we remove one of the touch points out, all of a sudden we can be like, huh, I don't know why that's not working so well anymore. This happens all the time, right? It's not just the last touch point that is our converting part of our marketing. It's all the touch points along the way that we weave together, that we make work into a comprehensive marketing plan that makes the money happen. Make sense? All right, here's some converting strategies. The very bottom one is the main one I'm going to talk to you about for just a minute, and that is we have to win when the phone rings. We have to win when the phone rings. We work so hard. We go to hours and hours and hours of BNI meetings, and we put up hundreds and thousands of door hangers, and we run ads, and we spend money. We work so hard to get our phone to ring. Man, we screw it up when it happens. We screw it up when it happens, right? I highly, highly recommend that you put call tracking on all of your marketing. And I don't care if you're answering the phone, or if your most beloved spouse is answering the phone, or if some new person that you just hired is answering the phone. You have got to have call tracking on all of your marketing because we want to be able to make data-driven decisions, okay? We want to know what's working, where's it coming from, what's happening on our phones, because then we can track everything and get a very specific ROI. I can know exactly how much I spent in my marketing for the month and exactly how much that brought to me because I'm going to have recordings of calls and it's going to tell me what source it came from. I'm a big fan of call tracking metrics. I think that's one of the best sources out there. There's others like CallRail. There's lots of different ones. But this is where a couple things are going to happen. We are going to know what's happening on our phones, where our leads are coming from. So when we run Google campaigns for somebody, we put a call tracking number on that. If you're running Google guaranteed ads, those are pay per lead, right? The local service ads that Google has, Google's going to put a Google number on that call tracking as well, right? Now what's going to happen is a call's going to come in, we're going to know where it came from. And I'm going to know what keyword did somebody search for, which ad did they click on, which page on my website did they land on, and I'm going to have a recording of the call. Now I can do a couple other things. I can block a caller, be like, stop calling me, solicitor. I don't want you to call me anymore. I can block them. I can also go make notes in there, right? Like revenue note. I can say, hey, actually, this call was worth $2,500. And then I can feed that information back into Google. Now Google's AI just got a lot smarter. Because now instead of Google just deciding what they think is a good lead for us, we're telling Google, actually, this was a good lead for us. So Google's AI gets smarter and smarter and smarter when we feed that information back into Google. The other purpose of having call tracking on all your stuff is purely for training, right? I promise you, you will get better at answering the phone when you hear yourself on it. I promise you, you will find things that you need to use ChatGPT to come up with a training to train your team on how to answer the phones when you do this. I promise you, you will see higher conversions when we win when the phone rings. Frontline of sales should be that person answering your phone. That person should be treated like your best salesperson. Okay, I loved Howard's slide earlier that showed all the craziness that is digital marketing. It's just like it's so much. That's what this looks like, right? This is why people say, I don't know where to start. And I've heard many people say that over the last couple days. They're like, I don't know where to start. What do I do first? Anybody ever asked that question when it comes to your marketing? What do I do? Where do I start? It feels like this. It's like, which one of these should I do? So let's talk about it for a minute. Your website is your number one salesperson, right? This is your person that works 24/7, never takes a break, but the question is it doing its job? So we need to make sure that our website, which is our capture point, right? This is where we're going to capture our people at, is really winning for us. There's a couple components of a website that I want to touch on for you. And you're going to know most of these, right? Your website has to load fast. 3 seconds. That's what Google says it needs to load in under 3 seconds. 70% of people are going to view your website on mobile first. I think it's higher than that, but that's what all the research shows. And if you want to see how fast your website loads, you can go to Google Page Speed Insights, and it will do an analysis for you. It will tell you how fast your website is loading according to them, and it will give you recommendations on what needs fixed. Most of the time, one of the main recommendations you're going to get is either the photos or the videos on your website need to be condensed. That's the number one. Yeah, Greg. Good question. It's going to tell you, like, it will be a different speed. If we're in here and it's like really bad Wi-Fi, you might have a faulty speed test, right? I would do it from your home area and in a regular place. And I would have a few people do it to see if it changes. So yeah, it's a really good question. It's pretty close though, Greg. It's pretty close. And it'll give you, the other thing it'll often tell you is if you have 404 errors, these are pages that aren't showing up for people. Okay, Google will tell you what needs fixed, so you don't have to guess about it. You want to make sure that your website has clear and compelling calls to action. So we want every page to be very clear on what we should do. I'm a big fan of Donald Miller's story brand, right? And Howard talked about this earlier today. You should go from a Z, right? From this, like, you should be able to read it through just like that. Donald Miller says that nobody should have to burn any calories trying to figure out who you are, what you do, or how they buy from you. So if you look at your website and that doesn't answer that, like above the fold, really fast, who you are, what you do, how they buy from you, we just have a little bit of work to do. Make it perfectly clear what you want people to do. And then trust signals. So this is where I want you to put your reviews, even in the header. If you have 200 reviews, right, you should make mention of that up in the header. You should do stuff to draw attention to the fact that reviews are there. Reviews are one of the most powerful converting tools that there are. People take them very, very seriously. And then I want you to show case studies or before and after photos. I also want you to show some symbols. Now, these trust symbols, this is not the most important thing. This is not something that needs to go at the very top of your page, but it does need to be on there to give you some extra credibility. Okay, and then make sure that you've got an easy design that's easy to follow. Navigation is easy. Huge fan of the story brand model, right? We don't need a ton of copy on our websites. People aren't going to read it. You should be treating every page on your website like a sales page. Like that's a page somebody can convert on. Go ahead, Greg. No, you're good. It's a good question. So here's what you want, right? Google's latest algorithm update for search engine optimization is called the helpful content update. Super important. Helpful content update. That's Google saying, I don't need a ton of information. I need good information. That's a change from what's happened in the past. Now, you want enough information on that page. You do not want any page to be less than 500 words. 500 words is the minimum. You should have a blog post or a page. If you can get 750, even better, okay? You also need to make sure that you're using bullet points and numbers because we are lazy humans. ChatGPT is doing all the hard stuff for us now, right? We are lazy, lazy, lazy. So we got to make it really easy how we break this up. You don't need a ton of information. Now, Greg, if there's information they need to have to understand that service, absolutely, that needs to go on that page, but it should go more towards the bottom. One of the things we miss is all of the pages on our website should have some sort of that capture form, right? Even if you think, I do water emergency services. People aren't going to fill out a form. I promise you they fill out a form. It's crazy. If I'm standing in a flooded basement and I'm not filling out a form, people fill out forms. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Per page. Yep, that's the minimum. That's the minimum right there. Okay, you want a form, right? Give them the opportunity to fill out the form. There is something that subconsciously happens when we put that there. Now they have a choice. They can call you. They can fill out a form. We like choices. Give them the choice of filling out a form on there when they do it. If you haven't read the book Building a Story Brand, you should go read it. It's going to talk about simplifying it and making your customer the hero. This is so important. We get really comfortable talking about ourselves. We're like, we're awesome. This is what we do. This is what our equipment is. Like all those things like that. We've got to be very careful. And we want to talk about their aspirations, their fears, their needs, the result we're going to bring to them, right? That's what is most important. And we're going to do this in a very simplified way. One, two, three. You call us. This is what we do. One, two, three. It's trickier than you think to simplify it that much. But it totally works. Totally works. And then, obviously, our very, very best customers that we're going to have, our very, very best clients, these are our referrals. Always 100%. These are our most important customers, are the ones that get referred to us. And so we've got a responsibility, right? If one of our referral partners is going to give us the honor of referring us, you can assume that the first thing that person's going to do is go check out your website. So if your website doesn't ring true to the referral they just got, you just put your referral partner in a really bad place and you put at risk the opportunity to get this referral client. Does that make sense? The way your website looks has to match the raving referrals that are going to come to you. We've got to make sure that those are compatible with each other. Okay. Your website should be your hardest working salesperson, right? This is a 24/7 engaged employee, and if you think you maybe have some issues with your website, then this is a starting point for you. When you ask, what do I do first? This is what you do first, okay? This is where you start. Let's talk about SEO for just a minute. This is search engine optimization. This is the biggest black box of all digital marketing where most people get confused because you don't know what's happening with it. It's also maybe one of the most important things you can do. because this is you owning your real estate property online. This is you owning the rankings for the things that are most important to you. You want all of your pages to talk about the specific service and the city. That does not mean I want you to have a million city pages on your website. That is an old SEO strategy. That is not helpful content, right? To just have the same page with the same information but only change out the city name, Google does not see that as helpful content. It will not rank for you. You won't get penalized for it, but you also won't get rewarded for it. It doesn't do you any good. Instead, we want to have helpful content. That's going to look like a main service page for every service you have. Google is like, SEO is like the Dewey Decimal System. Like, who's old enough that when you went to, like, yeah. You know how easy college is now that you have the internet and ChatGPT? It wasn't like that when I went to college. When I went to college, I went to the library, and I went to the Dewey Decimal System, and I found a book, and I checked it out, and I read it. But Google works a lot the same way. It's like the Dewey Decimal System. That's how Google knows what to find. It's very specific, right? It's like, hey, name of your business, name of the service, city. Like, we're going to tell Google how to find us by doing this. That means if you have one page and it has five different services on it, Google's not going to know what you're about, and they're not going to know how to rank you. They're not going to know where to put you. It's not going to know. I say they're like it's more than one thing. It's like one thing. It's like one robot. It's not going to know where to put you in the rankings, in the card file, right? So we've got to be very specific. We got to say carpet cleaning. We got to say tile cleaning. We got to say whatever all of our services are. We have to have an individual page for all of those services. So when somebody does that search, we've got a relevant answer that Google can pull up. Now, if we have multiple cities that we service, we have a lot of cities that we service that we want to rank for, this is where we're going to use our blog. The blog is a very, very important tool on your website, and this is where you're going to put your service and the city specific, and you're going to write a blog about it. Ranks really, really well. Yeah, great question. If you're a national company, then it's actually honestly a little bit easier, because then you're going to use words like national or all of the United States or things like that, and Google knows what that means, so it's okay. If you have certain cities, though, Sherry, that you really love, you're like, this place, this state does awesome for me, I would put some specific content for that state specifically, but otherwise you can say national. Yep. Content has to be at least 20% unique, okay? You can reuse some of your own content. It just has to be 20% unique, so it can't be totally identical. Okay, I want you to use video. I want video to be your new best friend. I want video to be everywhere in your stuff. Google is the number one largest search engine, and YouTube is number two. So whenever we put content out there, I want a video version of that content as well, because now I have the opportunity to rank in two places. I can rank in Google, but also my YouTube video can rank as well. And this becomes super powerful, because now if we go back to the idea of the helpful content update, video is the perfect place to give helpful content. And the number one place I want you to start is I want you to go to your website, and I want you to go to your frequently asked questions. If you don't have frequently asked questions on your website, that's a priority to get added. Okay? I want a frequently asked questions page on your website, and I want you to ask everybody who works with you, what are the most frequently asked questions we get? Ask your techs, ask your office people, ask your salespeople, whoever it is. What is the most frequently asked questions? And we're going to put together a plan, and we're going to keep adding frequently asked questions to our website, and we're going to put them into our Google Business Profile updates. There's a place for questions and answers in your Google Business Profile. We're going to start adding the questions and giving the answers both. Now, on your website, after you get your frequently asked questions, you've already put the question there, you've already put the answer. Next thing I want you to do, I want you to go make a video of it. You're just going to answer the same question, but instead of answering it in words, this time you're going to answer it with a video. And you're going to put that thumbnail, you're going to upload it to YouTube, right, because I want it to rank on YouTube, and then you're going to embed it on your website. So now we just gave our millennials and Gen Z that like to consume their information via video a great way to go get our frequently asked questions. We've also told Google, hey, we've got rich media, that's what video is, on our website. and it's linked to YouTube. So we're sending this extra signal. See how we start to use the same stuff in multiple places? We don't have to just keep creating new stuff. We just have to get strategic on how we're using it. Okay, I hope check my FAQs and make videos for my FAQs is on your to-do list once you get home. Super valuable. Let's talk really quickly about three pillars. So as you just kind of bring together the last couple of days, there's so much information and so many things you can do, but there are three main pillars that we have to think about when we're trying to really be impactful with our marketing. That one, very first, very most important, is the referral and reputation marketing. This is going out, building those referral partners, getting a good name in the area, like all of those things, those relationships, that is the heart and soul of your business, okay? You've got to put that there. That is a pillar. Then we're going to talk about our local marketing, and then we're going to talk about some community-based marketing. Pretty close to referral marketing, but a little bit different. Referral and reputation, number one thing I want to point out, like you've heard so many good things about this over the last few days, but reviews are mission critical, okay? If you want to be Google guaranteed, you have to have at least 5 reviews, okay? But here's the important fact, is that people make decisions based off of reviews. I thought this was crazy. I'm like, the research shows you, matter of fact, it says it right here, 90% of customers read reviews before they make a decision. Here's the crazy thing. Even if somebody we know and like gives us a recommendation, we still go check the reviews. I thought that was crazy. And then one day my sister gave me a recommendation, a referral to go use something. I love my sister. I think she's super smart. We like the same stuff. I've known her whole life, right? And the first thing I did is I went and checked the reviews, and I caught myself. I'm like, why would I go check reviews for people I don't even know after my sister just told me something? It's because that's what we do. They're important. If you don't have a good review strategy in place right now, you got to get one in place. It will impact every part of your marketing. So Google is going to look at it. If you're running Google local service ads, which are Google guaranteed ads, Google's looking at your reviews. It's one of the signals it looks at. When you're trying to rank for different keywords, Google's looking at your reviews. It's one of the signals they look at. And when we're in the convert stage and people are making a decision whether to call us or not, they're looking at your reviews. It's got to have a place in our marketing plan. Okay, let's talk a little bit about digital marketing. I have no idea how much time I have. Will somebody tell me? Does Victoria or somebody know? I have 5 minutes. Is that what I got? Ish. Okay, we're going to cruise. Woo! I got 5 minutes. Let's talk local digital marketing. This is where we get all over the place, and people are like, where do I start? Start with your website, and then go take a look at your Google business profile. This used to be the Maps Pack. It used to be Google My Business. Google's super in love with it. It's given it a million names. It changes it all the time. But so much of our marketing is tied to this right here, okay? This is where our reviews live, and Google is valuing this. When this first rolled out, Google told us that when we updated, you can do updates on your Google business profile. You should be doing that. And what would happen is you do an update, and 7 days later, it would disappear. It's the stupidest thing ever, right? Super annoying. It would just disappear. And this happened for a long time. And we were like, why in the world would Google have this information disappear? A little bit later, new algorithm update came out called the helpful content update. And guess what we learned? Google values current and relevant content. And we know on our Google business profile, they think that should be updated every 7 days. Okay? Doesn't disappear anymore, but Google sent us a message, pretty clear, our updates on our Google business profile should be updated every 7 days. This can be posts, this can be pictures, this can be about a service, this can be a tip, this can be a behind-the-scenes look at your team. You can spotlight an employee. You can do a lot of things on it, but you should be posting here every 7 days, totally free. Takes just a couple of minutes to do. Important. It will impact your SEO, right? A couple of things that I just want you to know is sometimes we don't know what keywords we show up for. I'm going to give you an opportunity here at the end on some ways that you can learn this. We think that we should rank for certain keywords, but we got to make sure that those keywords actually have search volume. Are those actually the keywords people are searching for? Google will tell us. So there's a thing called Google Search Console, also free, that will show you the keywords that you are ranking for, that Google sees you ranking for. You're going to get some really great information from that right there. Paid advertising. Okay, this is the bottom of the funnel. Okay, we got high intent happening right here. When we get to the paid advertising, somebody is ready to make a decision. They have just searched for something, and there is high, high intent. Our search paid, which is pay-per-click, that's the most commonly thought of thing that we see. And then local service ads, Google guaranteed. So if you do a search on Google, you get any search engine that shows up, very top of the page, you're going to see the little green check mark. Those are our Google local service ads, also called Google guaranteed, and they are pay per lead. That's not available in every industry, but almost in every service industry now, it is available. If you are not Google guaranteed, look into it. Free to get Google guaranteed. You just got to jump through some hoops with Google. You got to give them your business information, your insurance information. Owner's got to do a background check with Google, some things like that. This right here, the local service ads, are bringing the best cost per acquisition when you compare those two Google paid platforms. Okay, local service ads, very top of the page. Right underneath local service ads, that's our Google search ads. That's what we typically think of with Google paid. It's pay per click. Every time somebody clicks on that ad, you're paying, right? Up here, when we're talking about these paid places, this is where we are renting property from Google. The minute we stop paying, we stop showing up. But it's bottom of the funnel, and it's top of the page, and it's high, high value, okay? We talked about your website quite a bit, and then we've got our community-based marketing, which I think you have been fed such amazing information over the last couple days on how we are going to go build these relationships so that we are reaching people and reaching people, and then we're going to give them opportunities where we can capture them, and then we're going to turn them into money. That's how we're going to grow our businesses right there. So go out and build your strategic partnerships, right? Network at local events, sponsor community things, use your direct advertising, flyers, direct mails, Giftology, all those things that we've learned. That's our third pillar, right? We're going to bring it all together, and we are going to go really build our business. There are a few things that you can do, and this is probably the couple slides to take a picture of here. But you need a website improvement plan, and this is just a few things I want you to go check on your website to see if these are right for you. We've talked about them. Here's your SEO improvement plan. You've got to target keywords based on what your ideal clients are searching for. You've got to optimize your meta titles and descriptions. You've got to add pages, build your backlinks, keep your Google Business Profile updated, and then monitor it in Google Search Console. I'm going to show you a way that I can give you some of this information here in just a minute. And then your PPC improvement plan. Make sure these things are true. One other just tip I want to give you is I want you to go, when you get home and you're in your market, your area, Google knows where you're at, I want you to just go Google your business name. Okay? I want you to make sure nobody else is buying your name. There's a few things we can do when we run Google Ads. A brand campaign, that's where we defend our territory. We buy our own names. A service campaign, that's where we're buying the keywords of the services that we offer, products or services we offer. And then a competitor campaign. This is where we buy our competitor's name. Some people love that, some people hate that. But I want you to make sure you don't have competitors buying your name, right? So to do that, you just need to Google your name and see if anybody shows up in the paid. If they do, we know somebody's buying your name, and we need to make a strategy to combat that. Okay, social media improvement plan. Here you go. Just six little check boxes of things you can go check out, see if it's looking that way for you. Did I need to go back? Go back. Go forward? Go back. Go forward. Keep moving. All right, we got that? Okay, imagine what it would look like if you could have an army of people working for you 24/7. When we get our digital marketing dialed in, we are reaching and reaching and reaching and reaching and reaching all the time. Because when people pick up their phone 2,417 times a day, we want an opportunity to be in front of them. Be there, be fast, be helpful, right? We've got to show up at the right time to the right people. Here's what I have for you. I get asked all the time, like, what should I do and what should I, where should I start? And I'm like, I can't answer that for you because your business is different than your business and your area is different than your area. Your goals are going to be different. So what we're offering is Howard and I would like to give you the opportunity to put together a comprehensive marketing report. And my team will go through with all of our tools that we have, and we're going to put together all this information that we talked about. What are the keywords you are ranking for? What keywords should you be ranking for, right? What is Search Console saying? We're going to tell you what is the domain authority of your website. This is a score Google gives your website to say how much power it has. The more domain authority you have, the easier you rank for stuff. So I'm going to tell you, what is your domain authority? I'm going to tell you things in this report like, what are your competitors doing? How do you stack up against maybe your top three competitors? We're going to put all this information together for you, along with some ideas on, hey, here's some content you should write that would help you. Here's what an ad budget might look like in your market, right? We're going to put this all together for you. And today only, that's $247 for us to put that report together for you. You can text that number, 208-680-5258, and they will help you get all paid online. There's a few more questions we need to ask you, like your business name and the competitors. So you're going to get a couple of those questions, and then you're going to get a credit card authorization form that you can just securely fill out. Here's what that's going to look like. Right? We're going to look at reviews. Some of that stuff I already told you. We're going to give your website a score. So we'll tell you what that site speed is, and we'll give you a score on the content that's on there. We'll give you some recommendations, including the content and video recommendations and how you can use that. For the first 20 people that want to fill this out, there is a paper. I believe Victoria just passed it out too. If you just want to fill out that paper, I will get in touch with you. Remember, my team will get in touch with you. First 20 people that want to turn that in to us or text that phone number, you're also going to get a 30-minute consultation where we are going to help you make the strategic plan based on that report that's coming back to you. So any quick questions on any of that that we covered? I need like 2 full days to talk to you about marketing, seriously. Question in the back? Where's... You just want us to host your website. Am I remembering that correctly? Yes. If you want anything updated in your marketing, I would do this. Hosting for us just to host your website, give it a place to live that's safe and secure, $30 a month. That's what we've been talking to you about doing. If you want the full marketing breakdown, hey, where are you winning? Where are the gaps? Where are the opportunities? What's high priority, right? That's what this report's going to do for you. Yeah, good question. I'm going to also give you my personal cell phone number. You are welcome to text me if you have questions. I know that everything about digital is super personal, right? It's so big, but it's also so unique to you. That number is 208. You got it. That's my number to get stuff. Yes, ma'am. My number, 208-681-6448. We want to make sure you guys are winning online, right? Reach them, capture them, convert them, grow your businesses. All right, thank you so much. Woo-hoo. Thank you, sir.
Thank you, Sega.
There you go. Howard, I hand that off to you.
Oh, thank you so much.
There you go. Thank you.
Okay. Hey, listen. We had 25 people ask for more information on our program, and you already got an email. Okay. So if you ask for more information from myself and Victoria, you have an email in your inbox that shares with you how to get involved with us. And when you get involved with us today, click the link. We're going to give you this for free. Okay? We're going to give you Katie's report for free. Okay? Yeah. So check your email. If you opted in a while ago, Click one of the links. Okay, it's got to be me or Victoria. Okay, and you got to get Keep. We're going to give you this report for free when you do that. Okay, we're trying to work together here. Katie's going to make sure that your website is right, your all the stuff that she talked about. What we're going to do is make sure that your funnel is right, okay? All right. Last thing that's going to happen today. We have a surprise guest for you today. Yeah. Has anybody ever heard of Mike Myers? How many of you have heard of Mike? How many of you know who Mike Myers is? Has anybody heard of Mike Myers? Like, well, I don't know if he's funny or not, but. Oh, that's Michael Myers? Oh, it's neither one. Okay. However, the chief marketing officer of Abacus Services is driving all the way from like over an hour away to spend time with you, to share with you how they have marketed a business that went from like two or three trucks to $160 million in two markets. Okay? They do a lot of TV, they do a lot of radio, they do a lot of digital. He is a world of information, okay? So then, after he's done, we'll have a little discussion about what's next, share with you our next events coming up. We do have one event between now and the summer. We'll share that with you. So let's go get a stretch break and get ready for our last session. We'll see you back here in 3 o'clock. You can do it. Okay? Thank you very much.